I want to invite you, yes, I got coffee. I want to invite you to join me in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, where we read Paul saying, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Verse 10 of chapter 4. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. As we've studied through Philippians and we're coming to an end here, we've seen this theme of joy all the way through this book. And this morning, where God is taking us brought me to this question. Is it really possible to have joy all the time? Because I'm thinking of Paul, I'm thinking, you know, he's in prison, he's either under house arrest or he's in prison, depending on which imprisonment this is. But his life is not exactly like I think he thought it was going to go when he was a young boy entering, you know, Pharisee school. And, you know, and then it took a big turn on the road to Damascus. Anyway, here he is writing these letters and to these churches that God's used him to plant. And I kept, is it really possible to have joy all the time? Or is that really just kind of Christian denial? You know, where we're just like, no. You know, we come to church like, how are you? How are you, Katie? Good, me too. Yeah, great. And I know what the car ride was like to church. Trust Becky and I had five kids, you know, we still have five kids. But when they were little, Sunday mornings sometimes were the, you know, most difficult times of the week. And is it possible to have joy all the time? Because that's what Paul seems to be saying in these verses as he's coming to an end of his letter to the church in Philippi. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last you have renewed your care for me. You were, in fact, concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need. He's not asking for money. But I have learned to be content. I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know both how to have a little and I know how to have a lot in any and all circumstances. Did you hear that? In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need, I am able to do all things through Him who strengthens me. See, Paul is making that claim. He's making that claim that it's possible to have joy. He used the word rejoice, and then later he used this word content, which has this idea of just being, I'm good. We say that today still, right? I'm good. You know, it happened to me recently. I don't remember what the event was, but I was sitting in my chair. I have a chair. Who has a chair? Anybody have a chair? Okay. Who wants a chair? Okay, good. We'll talk afterwards. We'll go through the plan how to do that. I have this chair, and my voice is still, I'm still in puberty. I have this chair, and I'm sitting in the chair, and those of you that know my family, you know, it's kind of crazy and high energy, and, you know, grandkids are running all over the place. There's a big German Shepherd jumping all over the place, and my kids and son-in-laws, and everybody, just, you know, a few extra people, I think, and it's just this, it was some event. It was a birthday. I don't know what it was, but I was sitting there, and as Becky, being so loving and gracious to me, will often do, you need anything? And I said, I'm good, yeah. And then one of my adult kids said, hey, Dad, you want something? I go, no. You know, there was food and people were eating and getting something to drink, and I think there was dessert even at that point. And Dad, no, I'm good. And I remember just sitting there in a chair watching the chaos of my family, just saying, thank you, God, for this crazy mess that you've given me to be a part of my family. And I'm good. I'm just sitting here and I'm taking it. And that's the idea of this word. Paul, it says, it's just, I've learned the secret of what it looks like to live life through whatever you walk through, to be able to say genuinely, I'm good. I'm good. Sometimes we say, I'm blessed. You know, I'm in a good place. I'm blessed. God's got me. We can say it different ways. But Paul is making this claim as he's coming to the end of this chapter, of this letter, that it really is possible to have joy all the time. In fact, he makes the claim that he knows the secret of having joy and being content in every kind of situation. Now, does Paul have street cred? Do we know what that is? I gotta quit. Is there a better way to say that? I think I'm dating myself. You can respond. Is there a better way to say that? I'm good? Thank you. No, I'm good. You know, I don't know what the word is. I mean, maybe that has, I don't know what the connotation is. That's just in my head. You know, he's got street cred. You know, I mean, he knows what he's talking about when he says all situations, because he's been in all situations, hasn't he? And he says, lots and little. And so I want us to just talk a little bit. I want to share with you from these verses, verses 10 to 13, about what it looks like to have joy all the time. You guys already know this, but let me remind us. This is a safe place, and this is good context, and we have balance here because we've been reminded already of who God is, haven't we? So in that setting, let me remind us of something else. Our world's a mess. It's a mess. Sin has done a number on this planet. In spite of all of our improvements in technology and all the things that we can do, humanly speaking, in the medical field and what we can do educationally and all these different things that we have figured out how to do and build and make a better life, one thing has not changed. We're still a mess, right? We look at the behavior of people. We see educated people doing things. You know, what's happening right now in our culture with the way men are treating women and how it's coming out. And we're not talking about just, you know, well, I don't want to say an occupation because I'm gonna say it this way. We got people in power. We got politicians. We got, you know, actors. We got people that are educated, people that have money, people that have everything the world says you need to have to be a good person. And yet they're still displaying the behavior of sin and selfishness and using other people. Are you with me? Are you watching this unfold? I mean, we've already known this. This is no surprise, right? I hope nobody's surprised by this. But now our culture is saying, okay, what do we do? How do we fix this? How do we make this go away? How do we make this never happen again? And if you're in my house, you'll hear me yelling at the TV, come to Jesus! You know, the problem is sin. They don't get it, but the world's a mess. Our world's a mess. And why do I say that? Because this is the mess that God has said, hey. He doesn't say hey, does he? Hey, you. He knows your name more than I do. This is what I have for you. I have made it possible for you to have joy in the mess. To have a life of contentment in the mess. In the world that I've put you. I don't know if you think about this. This comes into my head pretty regularly these days. God has entrusted you and me to be his salt and light today. In the mess. In this crazy mess, he's chosen you. Matt and Amy, he's chosen you and your family, your kids, to be salt and light today in this mess. You see, God knows that he's given us everything we need to live a godly life, to be salt and light, and he trusts you. He's moved his Holy Spirit inside you and me, and he says, I trust you, Barbara. I see where you're at. I see your workplace. I see your neighborhood. I see your family. I know exactly where I've put you, and I trust you to be salt and light in this mess. The challenge for us, though, is that we, up here, we're trying to live that out, but in the process, we lose sight of the joy that is meant to be a part of that experience. You know, God and Kaiser got together and came up with that theme called Thrive, right? Kaiser borrowed it from God. You know, God does intend for us to thrive. And Paul says, I really believe it's possible to live life in all circumstances having joy, being content. Now, I'm going to lead you in this, okay? And you can respond or not. You can choose not to. But I'm going to lead. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to raise my hand. How many of you will join me in saying that more often than not, on any given day, I am not living my life with joy? I allow the mess. I allow this. Did you look around? Did you see? Do it again. Look around, because we're not alone in this. The challenge is real, and Paul is not telling us to just live in denial and go, yay, I love Jesus and life is good. No, he's saying in spite of whatever the mess is that you're in, I'm convinced that your life in that mess can be characterized by joy and by contentment. He says, I've learned the secret. In the Greek, it just says, I've learned it. There is no Greek word for secret here. The English translators have come up with a word to help us understand what he goes, I basically saying, I get it. I found it. I discovered it. I know what it looks like to live a life of contentment, of joy, no matter what. So here's some, let me share some thoughts with you that we pull from this declaration that Paul makes. And I know you don't have notes, but if you want to write some of these down, how many are taking notes besides Cindy? Okay. And my wife. My wife's doodling. Becky's drawing pictures. You really should check in with Becky after each service and check out the artwork. And then you should check in with Cindy if you missed anything, because she's got it. So you could go by there. And if you see pain on her face, it's because she missed one of the points and she's freaking out that she didn't get one of them. But she'll share the rest with you. There are note sheets of paper on the back that have the theme for our series that you can use to write on. Did we have the newsletters? Did they get here? Okay, there's not a lot of room, but you can write around the edges too. Is that what you do, Katie? You got your pen. So that's perfectly spiritual. Here's some thoughts. First one is this. Contentment comes through relationship. Contentment comes through relationship. That is, relationships are inseparable from living a life of contentment. Now, in a minute, we'll expand the relationship that we have with God, but I'll just say it now. It is impossible to have a life of joy, a life of contentment, apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay, we'll expand that more. He'll hit that at the very end. You'll see that in verse 13. So that's out there, okay? I want to make sure that's out there. But Paul is also very clear that this contentment that he's experienced is connected to his relationship with the body of Christ, the church, the people that are sitting around you right now. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, meaning I was sparked to rejoice. There was a stirring of joy. I was reminded of joy that now at last you have renewed your care for me. What does that mean? It means that in the past, the church in Philippi had supported him financially. They had made sure gifts got to him. Remember, Paul's a tent maker as an occupation. That I don't know when he learned that. Maybe he learned it when he, you know, maybe he learned it as a kid. Maybe that's his family background. We're not told, but there were times where he went back to that to earn money so that he could survive as he's traveling around with his team and sharing the gospel. And whenever possible, instead of doing the tent making, he loved just to give himself full time to proclaiming the gospel and planting churches. And that was often made possible through churches that were sending him support. And Philippi was one of those churches that had done that. Now, he lets us in on kind of what they already knew, is that there was a period of time where they couldn't help him. He says, you were, in fact, during this time that's gone by, concerned about me. I know you didn't stop caring about me, but you lacked the opportunity. Something was keeping them from helping him financially. And this moment comes when he's in prison that this gift comes, and he says, I just rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last, again, there's this connection. You have this opportunity to support me, and I'm being blessed by this. But notice, it's really not about the amount of money. I'm sure that was very practical and very helpful. Wouldn't you agree? We've heard it mentioned, probably you've been in church, that often in those days when you went to prison, food wasn't guaranteed. If you didn't have people in your life bringing you food, they would just let you die, and they'd come in one day, and you'd be dead. And then, oh, well. So it was a very big blessing for Paul to actually get support, to get money. But notice what really is stirring the joy and the contentment in him. I don't say this. I don't bring this up because I have need and I want you. I'm not saying, thanks for the money. Keep giving more. That's not what he's saying. I'm not bringing it up for that reason. He says, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know both how to have a little and how to be a lot in any and all circumstances. Now, next week, we'll pick it up. He'll expand on that a little bit. What he is super excited about in relationship to the Philippians and what they gain out of supporting him. But here's the point. Contentment comes through relationship. Contentment does not come through what we often think it comes through. What do we think contentment is a result of sometimes? Just stuff. What? No problems. Oh, no people. Pastor Matt, who is a shepherd of this church, says that contentment's only possible when you stay away from people. No. But seriously, people, right? Like if problem people in my life, if I don't have them, then life is good. Or finances, right? If I just have the right amount of finances, if I just have enough money, and somebody said stuff, who was that? Who said that was you, Wes? Stuff, gifts? How about a good job? How about a secure job? A job that I can't be, you know, lose or be fired from. What about your housing, having secure house? I can go on, right? We look at those things and we think, if I have these things, then can... Paul says, no, because those things can all be taken away. He says, I'm in prison. I don't have a place to live. I don't have any, you know? But what I have, Paul says, is you guys. I know I'm not alone. I know that you didn't stop caring for, didn't not care about me anymore. I know that there were circumstances, and I got so excited. I was just filled with joy when I realized there was this gift. It wasn't, again, guys, don't miss it. It's not the money that's exciting him. It's the connection between the church and Philippi and this partnership that he has with the body of Christ, the brothers and sisters. I really believe the takeaway, as Paul is saying, you can't have contentment unless you're in relationship. If you're married, you know this. Are you content when there's friction in your marriage? No. Happy wife, happy life comes right out of Proverbs, I'm sure. No, it doesn't. It does not. It should. Amen. You know, if things are going on with your kids, you know, your kids are not doing well in school, or they're not showing up for school, or they're making bad choices at school, is that, life's good? No. And as they grow into adulthood and they start making choice, you with me? Paul says contentment is connected to relationship. The person sitting next to you, the person across the aisle, the people in the body of Christ. So the question is, and we'll pick up more, but let me throw it out again. Are we in relationship with Jesus Christ? Because if I'm not in good relationship with Jesus Christ, I won't be content. I will not have joy. But Paul builds on that. He says, with the church, am I in relationship with my wife? Am I going through the motions of being a husband? Or am I in relationship with my wife? If you're a wife, am I going through the motions of being a wife? Or we in relationship? And we don't have time to blow that up, but we know a lot of what that means, right? What it means to be in good relationship with people? No? We do, don't we? Saying I'm sorry, asking forgiveness, being honest, being real, putting the other... I mean, there's all these pieces the Bible gives us of what relationship looks like. I think Paul is saying, you know what? I've learned the secret of being content, and one of them is you got to be in relationship. You got to be in relationship with the body of Christ, and you have to be in relationship with Jesus. Now, here's something really key that comes when we're in relationship with Jesus, and there's a lot that we could talk about, but I just want to zoom in on one verse, and it's in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit. Do you remember Jesus leaving and saying, hey, I'm going to go away because the Comforter is going to come. The Holy Spirit's going to come. Part of being in a relationship with Jesus is that the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of me. Now, he's not there just to take up space. He's there to do things. He's there to be things in my life. And this is one of them that I think that we have to come back to more regularly because it's connected to what we're talking about. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Hold on. You're right. We're going to go there. But I want us to pause because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. You see, I cannot be a person of joy. I cannot have a life of contentment apart from the work of the Holy Spirit or me being in relationship with the Holy Spirit. Do you know what that looks like? Not grieving Him, yielding to Him. We sing a song, Holy Spirit, You're Welcome Here. Do I do that on a daily basis? Do I get up every morning and you know, get out of bed and Holy Spirit, You're welcome here. You're welcome here. You're welcome here. You with me? See, that's relationship with Jesus is so connected to my relationship with His Spirit, the Holy Spirit living inside of me. What is He doing? One of the things He's doing is He is looking to produce the fruit of love and the fruit of joy and the fruit of peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and... Oh, I hate that one, self-control. But see, that's what He's there to do. That's what He's there to do. If I'm going to be living a life of joy and contentment in all circumstances, it comes through relationship. Number two, contentment is learned in the realities of life. Contentment is something that we learn in the realities of life. Paul himself said, I have learned. There's so much in that word that we, just real brief with me. We're not going to spend a lot of time here. But I want you just to reflect for a couple of seconds, 30 seconds, on what you know of Paul's life. He'll write it down in a few places. He'll write it down a few places in Acts, and he'll let, you know, the shipwreck and the beatings. But just think back. Paul says, I've learned. Okay, so Paul, how have you learned that? You've learned it when you had lots of money, when you were a Pharisee, and you had power. No, I don't think that's what Paul's saying. I think he's saying, I've learned the secret, and he's reflecting on the shipwrecks and the beatings and the betrayals. And the disappointments, and the no's. Did Paul know what no was? Yeah, God directly told him, no, don't go there. No, don't do that. He was blind. He was beaten more than once, almost to death. And then he says, I've learned. I've learned. Paul, have you learned? How have you learned? I've learned in the realities of life. I've learned in, and you know this, I'm not telling you anything new, but we learn more in the difficult times than we do in the easy times. I mean, I learned this as a young man, that when I went to the gym, if I took the, you know, 3-pound dumbbells and went, you know, and did this for an hour, that not much happened. I looked pretty much this, well, I wouldn't have done that, I guess. But I didn't look much different. But if I took the ones that there was heavy resistance, it was like, guess what happened to my muscles? I know it's hard to believe now, but in one time, you know, my muscles got bigger, right? I grew because there was heavy resistance. That's the way weightlifting works. Paul says, I've learned contentment through the realities of life. He shares a testimony. He says, I've had nothing, and I've had lots. I've had nothing. I've been hungry, and I've been well fed. The reality is contentment. If I want to be a person that is characterized by contentment, I'm good. I'm filled with joy. It's not something that somebody's going to get up in front like right now and say, hey, be blessed. Have joy. Go. Be free. It's going to be learned. It's going to be learned living a life of faith through the difficult moments. Contentment is learned in the realities of life. The question that I think we have to ask is, am I allowing God to teach me? If you're in a difficult time right now, is that a fair question? I hope you receive it as that, because I believe it is. To say, well, I don't like what I'm going through. I don't like what I'm facing. Well, ask the Holy Spirit, God, what are you trying to teach me? How do you want me to learn? How do you want me to grow? Because I don't like this. This is not what I would have chosen for myself or somebody that I love. But I know you're with me, and I know that contentment, I know that joy is learned in the reality of life. What are you trying to teach me? And that leads us to the third thought, and that's this. Contentment isn't about circumstances. It's about choices. Let that just bounce around in our heads and our hearts. Contentment isn't about circumstances. It's about choices. Now, I go right to circumstances. I define joy. I define happiness. I define contentment by circumstances. That night I was sitting in my chair, it was a real eye-opener for me to look at the chaos and look at the imperfection in my family, because it's there, and I just look in the mirror and I see it there too, and see the mess that it is. And at the same time, I thought, this is my family, and I'm blessed, and I have children and grandchildren, and I'm loved, and they're in my life, and God, thank you. I choose. Now, I could have chosen, oh my goodness. And I could have looked in and dwelt on choices and consequences and financial situations and my own health, even, right? Being a middle-aged guy, you know, and all the we got a movie coming up here called The Man Who Invented Christmas. See, I don't know if anybody's seen it, but it's about, you know what it's about? The Christmas story, and who's the main character in the Christmas story? Ebenezer Scrooge, and what's his famous line? Wow, you guys did it really believable. Bah humbug. Is he done yet? You know, I can approach the situation that way and zoom in on the circumstances, or I can choose to be filled with joy. I can choose to allow the Holy Spirit to say, Kurt, you are loved, you are blessed, you are forgiven, you are redeemed. I could go on and on and on and on. You see, contentment's not about circumstance, not about what I want my life to be. It's about choices, and nobody understood that better than the Apostle Paul and what he had gone through, and yet he was filled with joy. There's a passage, and I won't read all of it, but I'll give it to you to write down. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he talks about reaping and sowing in this passage, and it's a passage on giving our gifts and our offerings to God, and he says this, God is able to make every grace overflow to you so that in every way, always having everything you need, that you may excel in every good work. He goes on to talk about it's God that brings the harvest. And he says, I just want you to invest. I even give you the seed. God is the giver of the seed. He says, I'll give you the seed and then you just invest it. You plant it and I'll bring a harvest. Contentment is not about circumstances. It's about the choices we make. Am I ready to stop looking at my circumstances for my contentment? Are we ready to say, okay, enough of this, enough of looking at what I want my life to be like, and it's not, so I'm going to take my eyes off of that, and I'm going to put them on Jesus Christ and His promises to me, and I'm just going to invest what He's given me, and I'm going to rejoice in the harvest that He brings. And finally, contentment is not possible on your own. Contentment is not possible on your own. Did you catch that in the closing sentence there of 13 where he says, I've learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need, I am able to do all things through him who gives me strength. Now, you've heard that phrase, right? We use that phrase all the time. But do we realize that it's connected to our finances? It's connected to our circumstances? It's connected to our resources? Because that's the context of Paul making that famous declaration. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Paul, what are you talking about? I'm talking about contentment. I'm talking about the circumstances of my life and my finances and how I'm taken care of. It's tough. It's hard sometimes. And I can do all things through Christ, through him, Christ, who gives me strength. See, Paul says the key to all of this is you cannot do this on your own. This is not self-help. This is not something that we can produce in our own strength. You with me? I want you to hear that. Don't leave this morning going, okay, I got to try harder. I got to stop looking at that. You've got to make some choices. We have to make some choices. But this is not something we do in our own strength. This is something that comes as we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit and say, God, I just can't do this. I don't like this. My attitude stinks. I don't like my bank account. I don't like the house I'm in. I don't like my circumstances of my life. I don't like my relationships right now. I don't like the circumstances you've put me in. I can't do this. But I know I can with you through the strength that you'll give me. And so with Paul, we say, okay, I'm good. Yeah, but Kurt, I know. I'm going through the fire right now. It's tough. But I'm good. How are you good? Because I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Amen. And would you just contemplate with me for a minute on this thought? Does Jesus understand what it looks like and feels like to walk through pain? Does he understand what it feels like to be rejected, to feel alone, to not have what you need physically, monetarily? To have conflict and brokenness in your biological family, to have issues in your friendships, to be misunderstood. Does he? So when Paul says, I can do all things through him, as Paul reflects on his circumstances and he reflects on his journey, and he says, I can do this. In fact, I can do anything. I can be in any situation through him who gives me strength because he gets it. He really does understand. Not platitudes and read your Bible more and pray more and be a good person. That's not what the Holy Spirit's saying. That's not what Jesus is instructing the Spirit of God to say to you and me. He's saying, I've been there. I know. I know what that feels like. I know how that hurts. I know how hopeless that feels. I know how scary that is. I've been through it all. And I will be with you through all that you face. And I will give you the strength you need. And you can do it. So that with Paul, I can say, and you and I can say with confidence, it really is possible to have joy in all things. It really is possible to live a life of contentment no matter what it is that I'm facing. Let me close with these words in Ephesians chapter 2. Let me remind us of who it is that gives us strength. He also raises us up with him. He, the eternal heavenly Father, also raises us up from the dead with him, Jesus, and seats us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he may display the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us. Do you hear that? That God in all that he is, immeasurable riches of his grace that he's poured into us because of his kindness. Because it's by grace that we've been saved, through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's God's gift, not from works, so that none of us can boast. For we are his creation. Don't miss that, you guys, that little phrase. You are his creation. We saw earlier in this series that Jesus finishes what he starts. And he started a good work in you. And he will finish that work in you. You are God's creation. I am God's creation, and we, as his creation, were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. You are his creation, and you were created with a purpose, and the one who created you and created you and I with a purpose will be with us to strengthen us no matter what it is that we walk through, so that it is truly possible to to have joy all the time. All the time. You say, well, you don't know what I'm walking through. I don't. You don't necessarily know what I'm walking through. But what we both know, all of us know, is that Paul had learned the secret to having joy and being content all the time. And it's found in relationship with Jesus Christ and depending on Him. Amen? Amen. So be encouraged. Be blessed this morning. Be good. And I don't mean go out and be good doing good things. But be able to just say, I'm good. I'm resting in Him. I can do anything. Do you believe that? I can do anything. I can face anything. I can walk through anything because of Him and because of His strength in my life. So that we can be people of joy. Would you agree the world, that's what our world needs to see desperately, is it not? Man, our world has lost joy. Haven't they? It's a frantic search to try to find something to give life significance and meaning. Meanwhile, those of us that have put our faith in Jesus Christ, God's saying, come on, light up. Okay, I gotta be careful I say that in California. But light up, not the way you're thinking. Shame on you, Sharon. You know, but light up, brighten up, you know, make your light shine. We're not gonna have a light to shine if we aren't people of joy. Joy is so critical to that. So let's be good in Him and live lives of joy. Would you join me in prayer, please, just for a moment? Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you this early morning that we were able to be here together and to hear from your Spirit this morning as we opened up your Word. I pray that you would take what you have given us, each of us individually, and again by your Spirit, that we would go and be doers of what you've given us. Thank you for the privilege that we have to worship you openly with our voices, but with our hearts and our lives. And Father, help us to do that genuinely and with joy in these next moments that we have to bring our lives before you. In Jesus' name.